all these weeks, right, part of our short meditation, devotion, right? We are all meditating about respectable sins. The last week we saw judgmentalism, and this week, right, God willing, we'll be meditating on envy and jealousy. Let's start with a short prayer. Holy Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to your presence, Lord. What a blessed time, Lord, to remember you and to come to your presence, Father. Lord, I'm not worthy, Father, to stand here and to speak about you and to speak about your word, Father. I'm unworthy person, Father. Anoint me and you speak through me, Father. Yes, Lord, your word is double-edged sword, which can cut our hearts and division of soul and spirits, joints and matter, Father. Yes, Lord. Lord, use me as your mouthpiece and you speak to our hearts and encourage us, strengthen us and nurture us, Father. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are good here. Respectable sins means we all know they are very lightweight. We invite them into our hearts and they are having living relationship with us. Means they are associated part of our lives and we ignore them most of the times. So one of the respectable sins, right, it's a two actually, envy and jealousy. Most of the times, right, we use them interchangeably and they're almost same but not same. Very slight difference, subtle distinction between envy and jealousy, but almost same. We'll see what is the difference and what Bible speaking about that. So part of our brief devotion, right, we'll be covering today what is envy and jealousy, areas in which we feel envious and jealousy, and characteristics of these envy and jealousy, a classic illustration from Bible, dealing envy and jealousy in our spiritual life, along with the cure, summary and conclusion. What is envy and jealousy? Envy is a painful, oftentimes, right, resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by someone else. It's a very painful, it's purely related to the heart. Most of the times, right, it will be very painful. And this kind of expression, I can say, but anyhow, it will be inside and it's internal to our heart. Oftentimes, most of the times, resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by our neighbors or co-believers or whoever it is, our in our office, right, colleagues. That is kind of painful situation. Sometimes, right, we want that same advantage, whatever our colleagues or believers or our neighborhood people might enjoying. Same thing, we also, right, desire to enjoy the same advantage. So ultimately, right, even that leads to further sin like covetousness. Sometimes we just resent the other person having something we don't have. If our neighbors, right, if they have some possessions or belongings or some kind of high positions, right, we feel envious about them. But particularly speaking, right, especially in the two conditions, we tend to envy. First, right, we tend to envy those with whom we most closely identify, like our colleagues, or if it is a church, right, if we are in the same business level, I can say, if we are in the same business level, right, we relate with them and then that tends to envy. And second thing, right, what are the areas most of the times we admire? So we value most, right, there also we get this kind of feeling envy. And jealousy, right, it is nothing but usually defined as intolerance of rivalry. So we will see the illustrations based on that, right, we can understand the difference between jealousy and envy. But as I mentioned, right, both are almost same. And then jealousy means sinful jealousy occurs, however, when we are afraid of someone is going to become equal to or even superior. It's a kind of insecure feeling. If, let's say, if both are friends, right, if they are together and if they are giving the exam, right, that time we feel as if he is going to secure more marks than me. Like such, some kind of insecure feeling that leads to sometimes fear also. So general areas in which we feel envious and jealous, right, in our daily lives, work area especially, positions and achievements and abilities, Here we can see the envy and jealousy. And within our families, among the brothers and sisters, right, siblings, there we can see our outside means with our cousins, right? There also we could sense that. And then especially church ministry, even in the churches also. We have a church here that we will discuss about that church, how they face this envious and how Paul is writing to them to overcome that. And then about our children education, we most of the times, right, we compare with our neighbors, people, children's, right? There also we feel envious. And neighbors, if they buy good car, right, or if they have mansion, right, definitely there also we feel that one. But however, what are the characteristics of this jealousy? Means jealousy mainly contaminates. It is like cancer that eats and devours our soul. We will never sense that is cancer unless, right? So it's like, I would like to give a good example, termite. It's like termites only. We will never know unless we see that big damage, right, at the end of, after some time, after damaging our whole house, right, then we sense that termite. So jealousy also same thing, we never sense it, but once it comes out, right, then we feel that is jealousy. Jealousy, right, most of the times it can destroy our inner peace and contentment as well. And jealousy, right, it can rob our joy and happiness because we'll be thinking about them, right? That's why we'll miss that joy and happiness in our lives. Jealousy also, it is a raging fire, consumes our inner life. Jealousy strips off the spiritual power in our lives. Jealousy produces even other sins like covetousness, angry, all the other sins also, right, it originates. And then Proverbs 27:4, it says, I'm referring two different translations here. ESV, it says, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? It means now we can understand how powerful it is. And then NLT translation, right, it says, anger is cruel, wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous. So we see it is a respectable sin, but comparatively, right, with anger and wrath, it's the severity level of jealousy and envy, right, a little bit higher. And then if we come to the biblical illustrations, right? We all know the story of Abel and Cain, what happened. This is the first sin recorded outside the Garden of Eden. So we are seeing when Abel and Cain, right, when they come with their respective offerings to God, Abel, first God, right, he respects Abel. He pleases with Abel and then he accepts the offering of Abel because whatever the offer he brought, right, that is the best one, firstborn of the Cain, right, he also brings the offering. Bible, it says in Genesis 4 chapter, right, he did not respect Cain. And then he did not accept the offer of Cain because whatever the offering he brought, right, that is not heartful. But whatever the reason, the ultimate consequence of this one, right, how Cain is feeling envious, jealousy about his own brother, right, he's feeling, and then ultimately it is leading to murder. That is the first murder, once again, it recorded in Bible. And then we know about Joseph's story. Genesis 37:11, it says, Jacob, right, he loves Joseph more than his children. Out of 11 children, right, he gives more priority. The favoritism, whatever he's showing, right, that causes envy. So let me read Genesis 37:11. It says, unto his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. The reasons why they got envied means one is father, right? He is giving the multicolored tunic, the coat to Joseph. That is one thing. And then he got two dreams, and then he's telling with his brothers, right, the sheiks and then the stars, how they are bowing in front of him. All those incidents and the way Jacob, right, he's dealing with the Joseph, right? All those incidents caused envy to his brothers. That is one more example about the envy and jealousy. And then Saul and King David, 1 Samuel 16, 17, 18 chapters, right? Very clearly talks. Saul, right? He was anointed king, first king to Israel. So now what happened, right? When the Spirit of God, when it leaves, right? Samuel, he mourns about Saul, King Saul, but Lord appears and tells him, don't mourn for him because he got the different spirit now. So to refresh himself, right, his servants, they bring Shepherd David. He's not King David. Shepherd David, he used to play that harp, right, that gives refreshment and kind of a relief to Saul, King Saul. But ultimately, right, he develops the favoritism, he pleases with David, Shepherd David. But what happens, right, after David, Shepherd David kills the Goliath, right? And then when they were coming back from the battlefield, the women of Israel, right, they sang one song that leads jealousy to Saul. That song is King Saul, right, slain thousands, and then David, right, slain 10,000. That causes jealousy towards King David. So all those years, right, he was very favorable with David. All of a sudden, right, that incident, killing of Goliath and the singing of a woman of Israel, right, that caused jealousy to King Saul towards David. And then prodigal son story. This we are well known about this prodigal son. When he comes back to his home, right, to the father's house, normally father, right, he rejoices. He gives him all the things, ring and then new clothes, and then he cuts the fatty calf, and then they celebrate that incident, that his arrival. But his elder brother, right, he was jealous about his brother because father never treated him like the way how he treated younger son. That caused jealousy to elder brother towards younger one. And then this is the one kingdom of heaven, right? This is especially from Jesus. On his own words, he tells about jealousy in Matthew 20th chapter. This also we all know about. This is nothing but kingdom of heaven, right? It's like a landowner going to market and hiring workers for his vineyard. Very first hour, that is 6 o'clock, right? He goes to market. There he found some workers, right? He hires. The agreement is for one denarius. That is the agreement between the landowner and the workers. With that agreement, right, he brings these workers to his vineyard to work there. And then again, the landowner, right, he goes 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock. He goes there and whoever he finds there, right, workers, he brings to them to his vineyard. So the agreement is once again, right, whatever I wish, I'm ready to give to you like that. That is a thing. But the first hour people, that is 6 o'clock people, right, the agreement is one denarius. So, and then very end of the day, right, that is almost when they're closing, that is 5 o'clock. That time also he goes there and he finds some people, their workers. He asks them, why you people still standing here? They tells that nobody hired us. Then, right, he shows the generosity and then he asks them to come and work in my yard. I give you something like that. So ultimately 6 o'clock, right, once the day is over, they started giving the wages to all these workers. So first, right, they start giving the wages to the 5 o'clock people. He gives one denarius to those people. So the people who came 6 o'clock, right, they thought that landowner, he gives more money because they worked throughout the day under the scorching heat, right? They thought like that. But the landowner, right, he gives same amount, whatever the one denarii he given to the 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock people, right? Same amount he gives. That causes envy. So Jesus says in his word, right, kingdom of heaven, no more jealousy in that. Whatever the landowner or God thinks, right, he is having the complete authority. Whatever the amount he wanted to give, right, he gives. This is these words directly from Jesus, from Matthew 20th chapter. And then one more very, very important thing, church in Corinth. This one, right, he writes Paul directly to the believers. He addresses them as saints, whoever sanctified, right? May we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, first chapter, and then 1 and 2. To the church of God, 1 Corinthians, second verse, first chapter, second verse. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, but theirs and ours. And now let's go to 13th chapter, 4th verse. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, 4th verse. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Some translations like NASB and NLT, it says jealous. Love does not jealous. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. So there are so many virtues about the love. 13th chapter we call chapter of love. So Paul directly telling to the saints of Corinth, right? He's saying about love does not jealous. The reason why he is telling, right? There are so many differences in the church of Corinth. So he knows that. So to encourage them, right? Paul is telling, once again, they are believers. They are believers in Christ. So he's writing and encouraging that the quality of love, right? It will not show any envy or jealous. So the reason why the differences and all there, right? Once again, if we go to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? So the quality of this envy and jealousy, right, it is a pure fleshy thing. It's related to carnal thing, carnality, that is. So envy, basically, right, fleshy nature, as 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, right, we could see in the third verse, you are still carnal, for there are envy and strife in the church of Corinth. So he's highlighting, saying that still you people, right, babes in Christ. That is the reason you have that fleshy nature, envy, jealousy, strife. That's why you have the divisions and among yourself, right, you are quarreling. And then if you come to James 3:16, right, it clearly says, wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So that is wherever envy is there, envy or jealousy, right, there it leads every evil thing. There is a chance that every evil thing, right, there will be there. And then one of the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time fast, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Please remember, those who practice such things, right, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are all works of the flesh, having the jealousy, envy, and whatever they listed here. And then Romans 1:29, we all know once again how the God's wrath will be revealed. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they're all whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Once again, this is who are practicing such things, right? They are deserving of death. This is Bible, what Bible it says. Okay, fine. Now we know what is envy and jealousy. How to deal with that envy and jealousy in our spiritual lives? First of all, we need to remember that the sovereignty, we need to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. So when we know, like the story in the vineyard, right, God, kingdom of heaven, whatever the landowner, right, he wishes to give, he desires to give, right, he gives. To every believer, right, he blesses us. Or even non-believers, right, he blesses. When he blesses, right, we should know that Jesus, according to sovereignty of God, right, he gives all the abilities, spiritual gifts. If we are to successfully combat the temptations to envy and jealousy, we must mentally bring God into the picture. Not only there are differing talents and gifts, but also there is a widespread diversity in God's blessing on those gifts. All this is from God, that we always remember when God blesses our neighbors or co-believers, right? God is blessing. When God is blessing, right, who are we to answer, question him? So when we acknowledge the sovereignty of God, right, always when we remember in our mind, so definitely we treat them differently. And the second weapon is we always need to remember that we are body of Christ. We are all right, though we are different parts of the body of Christ. As Romans 1:12:5 it says, one body in Christ and individually members to one another. And 1 Corinthians 12:26. All the members need each other because we are working for the kingdom of God and we are part of the body of Christ. We should always remember and honor each other. When we remember that, right, when it comes to our mind, we can keep the envy and jealousy away from us. And the third one, right, we should always remember that God is executing his divine plan. Who are we to be hindrance to it? All are important in the God's plan. God, right, he will be having plan and purpose in our life, that we should always remember that God is executing his plan, and according to his plan, right, he will be blessing each person. And when he is executing, right, we should be never hindrance to it. And then the another way of dealing envy and jealousy, main wherever love, right, wherever it is there, 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love suffers long and is kind, love does not envy. Love, right, wherever there is love, there is 0% of jealousy. How I can say, right, let's say my daughter, if she is pursuing higher degrees, and if she is achieving greater than me, right, whatever I studied, if she is studying more than that, I never feel proud, I never feel jealousy or envy about her. I feel instead, right, very proud, saying that my daughter, right, she achieved so many things like that. So because that is a blood relation and I love her, that love, right, it is keeping that envy and jealousy away. Why can't we show the same similar love? We cannot show because that is not the blood relation. But when we come to believers, right, we have the spiritual relation. When we go to our neighbors, right, if they are non-believers, we have the non-spiritual relation also. But what God says, right, love your neighbor like yourself. So in order to have that love, right, once again, that is the fruit of the Spirit. When we fill with the Spirit, right, then we have the Galatians 5:22. That is nothing but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is one fruit, 9 things. In order to have that, right, no doubt, we should be filled with the Spirit. When we fill with the Spirit, right, then we can see the fruit. When we have that fruit, right, then we love our neighbor. That is one thing, filling with the Spirit. And then Paul says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We saw what all the lust of the flesh. We all know the works of the flesh and all. So in order to fulfill that, right, we must walk in the Spirit. And then the very important thing is crucify it. We have to put to death all these earthly members like fornication, this uncleanness, everything, right, as in Galatians 3:5, we have to crucify it, because Bible, it says very clearly, we have to deny ourselves, take the cross daily and follow him. When we deny and crucify all these things, right, there is no chance for the envy and jealousy. And then we need to confess it. The Greek word for confession, right, as it is, whatever it is there, right, 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful. When we go and confess our sins, right, he is there to forgive our sins and he cleanses from all unrighteousness. Because God knows what sin we did. We have to tell him as it is. When we confess, right, immediately when we feel that envy or jealousy in our mind, right, when you go to Lord's feet and ask for forgiveness, right, definitely he forgives. That is the way to purify ourselves. And then thankfulness, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, it says, in all circumstances, right, we are supposed to give thanks. When our neighbors, right, they get blessed, right, we need to, even in that circumstance also, we should thank God. Not only that, even if we get something, right, we have to thank God. So irrespective of the circumstances, right, we're supposed to give thanks to God. And then the summary, right, envy and jealousy, they are deadly sins. They will contaminate our spiritual lives if we live like that. When we initially diagnose and identify, and if we confess someone, right, God definitely, he gives the redemption from it. So they are like termites. God is light. Absolutely, there is no darkness in him at all. Hebrews 4:15, in every matters, in everything, right, he tempted like us, but he never committed any sin. There is no blackness, darkness in him at all. He is holy and he is expecting us to be holy. And then ultimately the purpose why we are here is means Christ-likeness. So like God, Genesis 1:26-27, right, God created us in his image and he is having certain expectations. But unfortunately sin defiled that image. And then God loved us. God so loved us and given Jesus Christ to us. He is perfect and he lived a sinless life, perfect life. So now he is the invisible image of God. So now we know how the image it looks like and how it will be. When we walk like him and when we like him, right, when we do like him and when we do everything Christ-like, right, that will definitely please God. So ultimately 2 Corinthians 3:18, right, we have a helper. He will be helping us to transform into his image. That is the main objective of all these respectable sins. God has a plan and purpose in our lives, that we should realize that he is a plan. Irrespective of whatever job you are doing, right, we should realize that he is a plan and we should live accordingly, according to his purpose. And we are on this planet to do his will by living in a holy way. And then the prayer is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. May his name be glorified.